News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast, Daybreak. I'm Pathikrit Sen Gupta. While there's understandably a pandemic of coronavirus-related news all around, let's have a listen to some other big stories. The National Investigation Agency arrested Trinamool Congress leader Chhatradhar Mahato in connection with the killing of a CPIM leader in 2009, soon after he cast his vote in Lalgarh during the first phase of polling in West Bengal, a senior official said on Sunday. Mahato, the former convener of the Maoist-backed People Against Police Atrocities, was nabbed from his residence in Jhargram district by an NIA team comprising 40 to 45 personnel late on Saturday, hours after he exercised his franchise. He was arrested in connection with the 2009 killing of CPIM leader Prabir Mahato. He has been booked under the Unlawful Activities Prevention Act. We will produce him at a city court on Sunday, the NIA official said. The Calcutta High Court had recently directed Mahato to appear before the NIA thrice a week to assist it in the investigation of the case. Mahato, 50, had earlier served a 10-year sentence for his involvement in a landmine blast triggered by Maoists in Shalbuni in 2008, aimed at the convoy of the then West Bengal Chief Minister Buddhadev Bhattacharjee and former Union Minister Ram Vilas Paswan. A 16-year-old girl was allegedly raped by a 21-year-old man on Sunday in the tribal-dominated Ali Rajput district of Madhya Pradesh, following which villagers paraded both the accused and the victim in public by tying them with ropes, police said. A total of 6 persons, including the man who is accused of rape and 5 villagers, have been arrested. A video showing the girl and the accused tied with ropes, being beaten and forced to walk in public in the village under Jobat police station amid slogans of Bharat Mata Ki Jai has gone viral on social media. The girl was rescued by police, a senior officer said. Subdivisional officer of police Dilip Singh Bilwal said, 2 cases were registered on Sunday on the FIRs lodged by the victim. One of the cases was registered against the 21-year-old man who is accused of rape. Another FIR was registered against the family members of the girl and villagers for parading her in the village and beating her, Bilwal said, adding that the rape accused is married with 2 children. He has been booked under sections of the Indian Penal Code and under provisions of the Protection of Children from Sexual Offences Act. Family members and relatives of the victim were booked under sections 294 for obscene act in public places, 355 for assault or criminal force with intent to dishonor a person, 323 for voluntarily causing hurt, 342 for wrongful confinement, and other sections of the IPC, the officer said. The Delhi Zoo may soon get 3 tigers from Chennai and Nagpur for breeding purposes under an animal exchange program, officials have said. Zoo director Ramesh Pandey said they plan to bring a pair of tigers from the Gorewada Zoo in Nagpur, while another male tiger is likely to be brought from Chennai. A Royal Bengal tigress was brought to the zoo from Kanpur for breeding purposes in November last year. The Delhi Zoo is a participant in the conservation breeding program of the Royal Bengal Tiger. At present, the Delhi Zoo has 7 tigers, including 5 white tigers, Pandey said. A pair of sloth bears from the Nagpur facility is also on the cards, he added. A pair each of ostriches and chinkara will be brought from Chandigarh this month, Pandey said, adding that the number of animal species in the zoo is likely to increase to 93 before it is reopened for the public on April 1 after remaining closed for over a year. The Delhi Zoo has not had a chinkara since July 2019. Chennai may also provide a male ostrich and a grey heron to the Delhi Zoo, Pandey said. A proposal has been submitted to the Central Zoo Authority to bring 5 species from the Vishakhapatnam Zoo, including star tortoise, dhole or wild dogs, and iguana, the director said, adding that the target is to increase the number of species to 100 by the end of financial year 2021-22. At present, the Delhi Zoo has 88 species of animals up from 83 in March last year. India held their nerve in the face of Sam Curran's resolve to beat England by 7 runs in a dramatic third and final ODI to clinch the series 2-1 in Pune on Sunday. Put into bat, India were all out for 329 in 48.2 overs with Shikhar Dhawan 67, Rishabh Pant 78 and Hardik Pandya 64, hitting half centuries. Curran 95 not out of 83 balls. Single-handedly kept England in the hunt as he shepherded number 10 Mark Wood, who got 14, for a 60-run stand for the 9th wicket, but in the end could not score the 13 runs needed in the final over. England ended at 322 for 9 in 50 overs. India dropped at least 4 catches, including that of Curran, at crucial junctures as they were kept frustrated till the end. The Indian innings was built on 2 big partnerships. 103 for the opening wicket between Rohit Sharma, who got 37, and Dhawan, and 99 for the 5th wicket between Pant and Pandya. Pant's sparkling knock came off 62 balls, while Pandya needed 44 for his blistering innings, but India lost their last 4 wickets for a mere 8 runs. Pant, during his career-best knock, plundered 4 maximums and 5 boundaries, while Pandya smashed 5 fours and 4 sixes. For England, Mark Wood was the most successful bowler with figures of 3 for 34, while Adil Rashid took 2 wickets. Chasing the target, England lost wickets at regular intervals and could not stitch any substantial partnership on a flat pitch before Curran's heroic effort. Shardul Thakur returned with figures of 4 for 67, while Bhuvneshwar Kumar got 3. India had won the preceding 4-match test series 3-1 and the 5-match T20 international contest 3-2. Myanmar security forces opened fire on Sunday on a crowd attending the funeral of a student who was killed on the bloodiest day yet of a crackdown on protests against last month's coup, local media reported. The escalating violence, which took the lives of at least 114 people on Saturday, including several children under 16, has prompted a UN human rights expert to accuse the junta of committing mass murder and to criticize the international community for not doing enough to stop it. But it has not so far stopped either the demonstrations against the February 1 takeover or the violent response of the military and police to them. Local outlet Myanmar Now reported that the junta's troops shot at mourners at the funeral in the city of Bago for Thai Mong Mong, a 20-year-old killed on Saturday. He was reportedly a member of the All Burma Federation of Students Union, which has a long history of supporting pro-democracy movements in the country. According to the report, several people attending the funeral were arrested. It did not say if anyone was hurt or killed, but at least 9 people were killed elsewhere on Sunday as the crackdown continued, according to the Assistance Association for Political Prisoners, which has been tallying deaths during demonstrations against the coup. Some of the funerals held on Sunday became themselves opportunities to demonstrate resistance to the junta. At one in Bhamo in the northern state of Kachin, a large crowd chanted democracy slogans and raised the three-finger salute that has come to symbolize defiance of the takeover. Family and friends were paying their respects to Shwe Mainth, a 36-year-old who was shot dead by security forces on Saturday. The military had initially seized her body and refused to return it until her family signed a statement that her death was not caused by them, according to the Democratic Voice of Burma, a broadcast and online news service. In Yangon, the country's largest city, meanwhile, mourners flashed the three-finger salute as they wheeled the coffin of a 13-year-old boy. Sai Wai Yan was shot dead by security forces as he played outside his home. The February 1 coup that ousted Aung San Suu Kyi's elected government reversed years of progress towards democracy after 5 decades of military rule. It has again made Myanmar the focus of international scrutiny, as security forces have repeatedly fired into crowds of protesters. At least 459 people have been killed since the takeover, according to the Assistance Association for Political Prisoners. 2 additional tugboats deployed on Sunday to Egypt's Suez Canal to aid efforts to free a skyscraper-sized container ship wedged for days across the crucial waterway. even as major shippers increasingly divert their boats out of fear the vessel may take even longer to free. The massive Ever Given, a Panama-flagged, Japanese-owned ship that carries cargo between Asia and Europe, got stuck on Tuesday in a single-lane stretch of the canal. In the time since, authorities have been unable to remove the vessel and traffic through the canal, valued at over $9 billion a day, has been halted, further disrupting a global shipping network already strained by the pandemic. The Dutch-flagged Alpgard, a specialist tugboat, arrived at the location on Sunday, according to the ship's technical management committee, Bernard Schult Ship Management. The Italian-flagged Carlo Magno was also close, having reached the Red Sea near the city of Suez early on Sunday, satellite data from marinetraffic.com showed. The tugboats, along with at least 10 others already there, will nudge the 400-meter-long Ever Given as dredgers continue to vacuum up sand from underneath the vessel and mud caked to its port side, said Bernhard Schult Ship Management, which manages the Ever Given. Excavators dug on Sunday on the eastern wall of the Suez Canal, hoping to free the bulbous bow of the Ever Given that plowed into the embankment, satellite photos showed. The technical company, Bernard Schult, said the team was also waiting for the arrival of additional equipment to dredge the canal's seafloor. The THSD Causeway, a dredger registered in Cyprus, is expected to arrive by Tuesday. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again tomorrow with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com. And do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening. Stay safe and have a very good day.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.